Hello, everybody. Alan Meshuggin Jr. here, and I'm excited about today's podcast. Today, we're going to tackle a subject and go after a subject that has become very taboo in the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, when you talk about the word prosperity, which this podcast is not specifically about prosperity, but it is about what will cause you to prosper. When you use the word prosperity, prosperity has become a bad word. I want to show you why prosperity is not a bad word and why God wants you to prosper. Even as your soul prospers, He wants you to prosper in every way in your life. And by the way, prosperity is not just about your money. It's about everything. And we get a word in the Bible, and that word is shalom, and that word shalom is peace, and that word shalom is wholeness. God wants us to be whole and prospering in every aspect of our life. But prosperity has become a bad word. So today, what I specifically want to talk about is I want to talk about new covenant giving. New covenant giving. Now, why am I saying new covenant giving? Because a lot of people use the old covenant as an excuse for why they won't do certain things in the new covenant. But I want to show you how the old covenant actually paints a picture for us of certain things, of the power of what certain principles mean as we walk in this new covenant relationship with Jesus Christ that He wrote with His shed blood. So when we talk about giving, I want to specifically talk about new covenant giving so that we can understand what it is that we can operate in, these kingdom keys that have been given to us that will unlock incredible doors for our life, specifically in the area of giving, which will bring increase into our life. So what are some of the types of giving that are mentioned in the Bible and even are mentioned in the New Testament? Well, the first kind is first fruit. Let me explain what a first fruit offering is, because a lot of people have mingled the first fruit with the tithe, and that's not necessarily the case, because the tithe means the tenth and the first fruit means the first. And so the first fruit offering is the first of something. Let me explain that. When a first happens in your life, let's say you get a raise, and that raise is going to be a $50 a month raise. Then a true first fruit offering would be the first 50. That when you give that first 50 of the $50 increase a month raise that you got, that is a true first fruit offering. Or you might say, I want to give my first paycheck of the year to God as a first fruit offering. The first paycheck is then the first fruit. Because a first fruit offering is truly the first of something. And you're giving that first fruit offering, believing for God's blessing upon the rest that is to come. All right? So that's a first fruit. What's another kind of giving mentioned in the New Covenant? Which is our regular offering is mentioned there. I call our seed offering. Which we are determining what kind of seed that we're going to sow. And so when we're giving our offering, we learn in scripture that as a man sows, that shall he also reap, that if he sows sparingly, he'll reap sparingly. When the Apostle Paul penned these words, when he wrote these words, he's specifically talking about money. He's not talking about any other thing. He's talking about your giving. So because this is a part of the new covenant in the New Testament, this is a part of new covenant giving. That as a man sows, that shall he also reap. If he sows sparingly, he reaps sparingly. If he sows bountifully, he will reap bountifully. And every person is determining in their own heart what they're going to give, what they're going to do, and they should do it cheerfully. We should give cheerfully. We should not give reluctantly. We should not give under compulsion. No one should have to persuade us to do it. It comes from our heart. Giving a true offering is something that we offer to the Lord with joy, with thanksgiving. And so and when we're giving our regular offering, we know that it's like a seed. It is a seed that we sow. And according to what we sow is what we'll reap or what will grow. That's why you hear people teaching seed time and harvest, is because as a man sows, that shall he also reap. Okay. What's another kind of giving that we see in the new covenant? That is specifically one of the kinds of giving that we see in the new covenant is giving to the poor or to the needy. We see this word alms used. Well, giving alms is giving to the poor and to the needy. And that's, you know, feeding people who are hungry, helping people to get clothes, all of these kinds of things. The Bible says Jesus said this himself. He said, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. All these are forms of almsgiving. That we're meeting needs. Now, understand this, your regular offering is not about meeting a need. Your regular offering is about a seed and understanding that that seed will produce after its kind, it will produce a harvest. And so your regular giving is about what you want to see happen in your life. It's about the future that you want to possess. The seed is always about the future. And so when you're sowing an offering, when you're giving an offering, it's about the future that you want to possess, that you can really give with expectation. Okay? So our first fruit offerings, our regular offerings, are giving to the poor and the needy. We understand that we see different ways that we get return. You know, the Bible says that when you give to the poor and the needy, God will repay. In other words, what you do make happen for others, God will make happen for you. It's like a one-for-one thing. It's like if you make sure that someone is getting close, God will always make sure that you have what you need. And so we see a return on these kinds of things. You know, we can expect in our giving a harvest. We can expect in our giving a return. Okay, so three kinds of giving that we see in the new covenant. And all of these are powerful. And all of these we should be doing. All right? Now, you might be saying, well, why didn't you mention the tithe? You're talking about forms of giving in the new covenant. Is the tithe not a form of new covenant giving? Well, here's the reason I didn't mention the tithe. The reason I didn't mention the tithe, which means the tenth, is because the tithe is not giving. It's not giving at all. You don't ever, ever give a tithe. The Bible specifically says that you bring a tithe or that you pay a tithe. The tithe is not something you're determining. The tithe is something that God has commanded. So the tithe, meaning the tenth, is not giving. It is bringing because the tithe, hear this, let me just make it real plain. The tithe is all about honor. That I'm going to honor God with my wealth. I'm going to honor God with my increase. Something that you have to understand when it comes to the tithe, because a lot of people are saying, you know, I just don't understand why God would want 10% of my money. Well, number one, you need to understand this. God doesn't need your money at all. But God wants to see your honor. Your honor is important. The Bible teaches us this, that we are to honor God, that we're to honor our leadership, that we're to honor one another. Honor is very important in the kingdom. Now, a lot of people say, well, this form of honor, people call giving the tithe, but we're paying the tithe. And a lot of people say that bringing the tithe or paying the tithe is old covenant. Well, let me show you why it's not old covenant. Number one, you need to understand that everything in the old covenant, there is a purpose for it. But the tithe is not old covenant because the tithe is before the Mosaic covenant. The tithe is before the law. All right? The sons of God were bringing honor to God. We see this all from the beginning of time, that the sons of God are sharing the increase, that the sons of God are bringing God honor. Now we see this word tithe when Abraham brings a tithe or a tenth of all that he possesses to Melchizedek, king of Salem. All right? This is hundreds of years before the law would be put in place. And truly what happened was when the law was put in place, they brought the tithe into it. But the tithe was way before the law. Now, why is it important? And how is it, even though the law, the tithe is mentioned in first in the Old Testament, so how do we know that it's something that a new covenant giver should be doing, that we should be bringing this form of honor to God? How do we know that we should still be bringing a tenth of our increase to God? Well, I'm going to tell you how. A lot of people want to go to Malachi. Well, Malachi is powerful and Malachi is true. But I want to take you to the New Testament. I want to take you to Hebrews, the 8th chapter and the 5th verse first, and then we're going to go back to the 7th chapter. Hebrews 8:5 says, he's talking about everything in the law and the prophets. He's talking about everything in the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament. They serve as a copy and shadow of heavenly things. Okay? So everything in the Old Testament, everything that we see there, whether it be the tabernacle, whether it be the sacrifices and offerings, every form of offering, the tithe, all of these things that we see, even the blood over the doorpost, the promised land, all of these things are types and shadows of heavenly things. So it says they serve a copy and a shadow of heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God saying, see that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain. Now, why would God ask Moses to do everything according to a pattern? Because this pattern is going to reveal the true pattern of what God has set up in heavenly places. And it's going to pattern for us what the new covenant really is all about. Okay? So tithe was a part of this in their bringing tithes to the tabernacle, to the Levitical priest. But watch this. When you jump back to Hebrews 7, the tithe is really explained in Hebrews, the 7th chapter. Because the writer of Hebrews, which many believe to be the Apostle Paul, the writer of Hebrews is showing us something here. He says that Jesus is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, when do we first hear that name, Melchizedek? Well, let's go back. I just mentioned it a moment ago. When Abraham, hundreds of years before the law, would bring a tenth of all that he had to Melchizedek, the high priest of God, the king of Salem, or the king of peace. Now watch this. Hebrews 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Now remember pattern. Remember what I just read in Hebrews 8, that all of these things that we see in the law and the prophets is all a pattern, is to give us a pattern of heavenly things. So even Melchizedek is revealing to us a heavenly high priest who is Jesus, all right? So watch this. And to him, Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything. That's a tithe. He is first, by translation of his name, King of Righteousness. Okay. Well, who do we know is the King of Righteousness? Jesus. And then he is also the King of Salem, the King of Peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Watch this. But resembling the Son of God, he continues as a priest forever. So Melchizedek is a Christophany. All right. An appearing of Christ, a type of Christ in the Old Testament. Verse 4. See how this great man was to whom Abraham, how great this man was to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the spoils. And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people. Now watch, he's explaining something here. That is from their brothers, though these also are descended from Abraham. So Abraham was before the Levitical priesthood, and Melchizedek, a priest forever, high priest forever, was before the law, before the Levitical priesthood. Verse 6, but this man who does not have his descendant from from them, received tithes from Abraham, and blessed him who had the promises. It is beyond dispute, watch this, that the inferior is blessed by the superior. Now, right here, he's calling the Levitical priesthood inferior to the priesthood of Melchizedek. And in one case, now watch this. In the one case, tithes are received by mortal men. What is this? The Levitical priesthood, the tithes that they're receiving, the tithes are being received by mortal men. But watch this. But in the other case, what is that? The case of Abraham and Melchizedek is being received by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. Verse 11. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there be for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek rather than one named after the order of Aaron? Okay, let me stop there and let me talk to you. He's showing us something here. It goes on to say that Jesus is our high priest after the order or the pattern of Melchizedek. Okay? So the heavenly pattern is that Jesus is just like Melchizedek. So in the new covenant, Jesus is in the position of Melchizedek, and we through Jesus Christ, if you read on, we are the seed of Abraham through Jesus Christ. So while Jesus is put in the position as in the pattern, the heavenly pattern, that Jesus is in the position of Melchizedek, we as the children of God now are in the position of Abraham as the seed of Abraham. So now in the new covenant, here we go. Tithes are still received in the new covenant, but they're not received in the way the Levitical law had put it in place. No longer now is the tithe brought to the Levitical priest. It's not brought to mortal man. Oh my God, this will preach all day long. In the new covenant, the tenth or the tithe is not brought to mortal men. It is not brought to the Levitical priest, but it is done in the way that Abraham did it when he brought a tithe to Melchizedek, who lived forever without genealogy, a Christophany, an appearing of Christ in the Old Testament. In other words, Abraham paid tithe directly to one who lives, not a mortal man. It shows us that Melchizedek was not a mortal man, that he was like the Son of God. So if you're following me here, the tenth or the honor was brought directly to the Son of God. That's the pattern. So in the new covenant, when you bring your tithe, when you pay your tithe, this is not your giving, this is your honor. That you bring your honor to the Lord. And watch this. In the new covenant, a man doesn't receive your tithe. Listen, if you come to my church, you come to Full Turn Church, I'm not receiving your tithe. I don't care what church you go to. No man is receiving your tithe. Why? Because your tithe is holy unto the Lord, and your tithe is, it goes directly to Jesus, and he's the one who blesses it. Now, if that's not powerful, I don't know what is. That the tithe, the tenth, in the new covenant, goes to our high priest after the order of Melchizedek, which is Jesus Christ, the one who lives forever. Your tithes in the new covenant are not received by mortals. Oh my goodness. Your tithes in the new covenant are received by Jesus himself, by the one who sits on the throne. Let me show you something. This will blow your mind. This is good stuff. Look at this. If you go to the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter, in the 23rd verse, It's talking about this heavenly city. Watch this. The kingdom of God in the earth. And the city has no need of sun or moon or to shine on it. For the glory of God gives it light. And its lamp is the Lamb. How many of you know that we are a holy nation? And our light is not a natural light. Our light is the light of God. He is our light by day. He is our light by night. The glory of God gives us light. And His word as a lamp is lighting the way before us. His word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And its lamp is the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? Jesus. By its light will the nations walk. Now watch this. Here's what I'm getting to. And the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. All right. Now watch this, because the translation of this word glory is also honor. Watch. Glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. Here it is. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. Now, if you look, the kings of the earth are bringing their glory and honor to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. So, in the new heaven and new earth perspective, oh my goodness, you got to get this. In the new heaven and new earth, in new creation, new covenant, the kings of the earth are bringing honor. That word honor in the Greek is the word time. Time. Now watch this. The word time means money paid. Money paid, not money offered. That word honor means money paid. Well, what is money paid? It has to be the tithe. It's the honor. They're bringing the honor, money paid. What is owed? What is due to the king? They're bringing their honor. So this is an ongoing, the tithe is an ongoing reality for the people of God. It is an ongoing reality. You can't make it old covenant when in the book of Revelations, they're bringing their tithe to Jesus in the new heaven and new earth. You can't get away from it. Jesus, our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So new covenant giving, first fruits, our offerings, our alms. And then we can never, ever forget our honor, which is the tithe, the tenth of all of our increase that we bring to the Lord. Jesus has dealt with the curse of the law, but in the kingdom, those who are in the kingdom know how to honor. Are you following me? Those who are in the kingdom, if you're going to operate in the kingdom, this is a kingdom key, that I bring my honor to the Lord and I lay it at His feet, because Jesus is the one who receives my tithe. New covenant giving has all these aspects. I've heard people say, well, why is it, you know, in the old covenant, they were bringing their fruits and vegetables and all these kinds of things, their grain offerings and all this. Well, forget all the other things that we could mention here, because they're bringing in their increase. But forget all that we can mention about that. We could say a lot about it. And just go back to Hebrews 8:5. It's all a pattern. It's all a pattern of heavenly things. Whatever increase is coming in your life, listen, if you have a job that pays you with potatoes, then bring your potatoes. If you have a job that's paying you with carrots, go ahead and bring your carrots as honor. If you have a job that's paying you with sheep, then bring your sheep. But I don't know of anybody that is working for potatoes, carrots, broccoli, sheep, wheat. No, you get a paycheck. You get money. The word TMA means money paid. I know this is not a popular subject, but many people, the reason that I'm going after it is because people are asking me, you know, there's poor teaching out there. There are people who are teaching that the tithe is old covenant. They're teaching that the tithe is a lie. They're teaching that Jesus' death did away with the tithe. And I'm telling you, that makes no sense at all. It's not biblical. It has nothing to do with old covenant or new covenant. It's about our honor. But we see in the new covenant that we're bringing our honor. Now, this is a different approach than what you normally hear. But even Jesus said this. Let me show you what Jesus said. Do you think Jesus was concerned with how we deal with our money? Do you think that he cares about how we deal with our money? Let me show you something. Luke 16:10. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much." Now watch what he says. "If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth." What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about money. "Who will entrust you the true riches?" In other words, if you can't be faithful with your earthly wealth, with your worldly wealth, with your money, with the bills that you carry in your wallet or purse, with the paycheck that you receive weekly or monthly or biweekly, if you cannot be faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you the true riches? If you have not been faithful in that which is another's. Now watch this. If you've not been faithful in that which is another's, what does this mean? This means that everything belongs to God and we're stewarding it. But let me take you another step into that. It also means that the tithe is not ours, because the Bible teaches us the tithe or the tenth belongs to God. So he says, if you can't be faithful in what belongs to another, that 10% that belongs to God, you can't be faithful with it. Who will give you that which is your own? No servant. Now watch. If you don't think he's talking about money, then let's see. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Now watch. You cannot serve God and money. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. But out of the mouth of Jesus, he said, if you can't be faithful with what belongs to God, then you cannot be trusted with true wealth. You cannot be trusted with true riches. You cannot be if you can't be faithful with what belongs to another, then you cannot be trusted or given that which can be your own. And you cannot serve both God and money. Can I submit to you that the people who call the tithe old covenant are people who just don't want to give? And the people who are saying, "Oh, you know, it's the tithe is old covenant. It's just we're giving now. We're giving from our heart, and we're giving cheerfully," and which is just about our offering, by the way. But we're just giving cheerfully. We just want to give according to our heart. Then I would ask you this: if what you're saying is true and what you believe is true, and God in the Old Testament commands 10% belongs to Him, that you would say under grace and in a new covenant you would give less than what God commanded in an old covenant. What you're telling me is you have a heart problem. What you're telling me is there's something going on in your heart, because your heart refuses to honor. Can I tell you something? In a new covenant, it's not about a rule in place. It's not about that at all. In the new covenant, it's all about your heart to honor. And if I can see what was patterned for me in the Old Testament, if 10% was the pattern in the Old Testament, then what am I willing to do in this new covenant that I'm walking in? 10% is the least that I can do to honor God. He gave everything to me. So I hope that this podcast has helped you. This is just scratching the surface. This is just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more there. There's a broader message. But I just wanted to bring you this today to where you can understand this is important. It's all about our honor to God, that we honor God with our wealth, with our increase, with our first fruits, with our offerings. We see the needs of others and we're giving to them. And in all these ways, God will see and he will answer and he will help and he will bring increase. And as a man sows, that shall he also reap. Okay. Well, I hope that you've enjoyed this podcast today, and I'm excited about your future. I know that God is going to use you as you walk in covenant with him and as you put to practice the keys of the kingdom, every door will be open to you. God bless you. Thank you for listening today. Until next time, this is Alan Meshuggah Jr. telling you God has a purpose, plan, and destiny for your life.